Techonomics on KGO 810. Today on Techonomics, gender diversity and gender equality, two issues that have dogged Silicon Valley for decades. Host Jason Middleton examines a new toolkit from a major investment firm, tools that help investors gauge gender diversity among companies they may want to invest in. Why gender diversity? Because those companies perform better financially. Then Techonomics taps a behavioral expert to look at our money anxiety, this time from the consumer's point of view. And with the proliferation of looser marijuana laws around the country, could a pot breathalyzer be far behind? That breathalyzer is here from ground zero of the pot resurgence, Oakland, California. All that and a little more starting now on Techonomics.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of Techonomics. I am your host, Jason Middleton. We start this week with a common thread of coverage on this show, at least, the ongoing struggle for gender diversity and opportunity. Usually, we look at Silicon Valley's sketchy progress with the gender gap. This week, we look at gender diversity in a more macro way, in a way that touches the issue where it really lives, on the bottom line. Morgan Stanley has invented a toolkit that helps investors examine a corporation's gender diversity as it relates to the long-term viability of that company. Is it or is it not worthy of investing? The data bear out the truth. The more diverse a company's board, the better it performs, period. Now, there's a measurement tool, and it comes from a nationally known and respected investment house in Morgan Stanley. Here's the first part of our chat with the Gender Project's point person.
Theo Taft-Schwabacher. I am an institutional consultant at Morgan Stanley in San Francisco, and I'm also co-chair for Women Corporate Directors of Northern California, whose sole purpose is to put more women on public companies to add to the diversity on those boards.
And a lot of your interests kind of coincide with an interest that's a running theme within this show, which is gender diversity, specifically in Silicon Valley. But we can look at it overall as well, because when you're forming a portfolio for investment, as Morgan Stanley helps people do, this might be something you really want to consider, and maybe more and more, which kind of tells me that Morgan Stanley's taking this so seriously that they've invented a new toolkit. I'd like for you and your language and your voice to tell me what you guys have developed.
Basically, it's what we want to call a gender diversity toolkit, and it designs a roadmap for advisors to use when they're helping both individuals and institutions, allow them to develop and tailor investment approaches to add integrated gender diversity criteria to their investment portfolio. So it means it could be an entire portfolio that you're focused on a specific area, or it could be that you're taking a portion of the portfolio to emphasize on gender diversity.
So this toolkit is designed to help investors analyze or add, I guess I'm trying to figure out, a dashboard for an investor who's looking at this. And it must be important or you guys wouldn't be developing it. We're talking about Morgan Stanley here, a wealth management company. So are you seeing interest in this? Did the market drive this, or is the need for more data driving this?
I think both things are driving it. We were the first to come along with having this ability to filter and come up with the gender roles that impact investment. I'd say it's rare and special, not only the groups that we're working with, because we do use outside institutional money managers, but also our internal specifics on looking at gender and criteria that are really important, because, you know, when you see companies with poor gender diversity or have weak policies or poor supply chain records, or involved with such things as entertainment and pornography, the returns on those companies are not as healthy.
I'm looking at some of the pre-press that came with this before we talked, Theo, and I looked over and highlighted one thing. Investors can minimize exposure to companies with poor gender diversity records. Why call this out so high? This seems like a barrier to entry for some, and you're trying to lower it.
Yeah, we're definitely trying to lower it, because think of how it affects social impact. If you've got issues in women's health care, or you've got companies that are using women in inappropriate ways, they ultimately don't perform as well. So you're talking also about discrimination, harassment controversies, you know, supply chain safety. I mean, think about industries where women are overrepresented in the labor force, such as, you know, some social services and garment manufacturing and other fresh produce supply chains, where it's like sweatshops, you know. These women are not being treated properly, they're not paid properly, and the end product is sometimes cheaper, depending on which country it's being developed in, but, you know, we're talking about human responsibility here.
Fair enough. I'm glad we were able to highlight that as well. It seems like it kind of dovetails with corporate social responsibility, which is something that some companies have used in their, say, guidance for their quarterlies and whatnot. I've been long advocating that CSR should be a plank that should be required in some ways. Are regulations along this route coming as far as gender diversity goes and slash CSR?
I'd say CSR is being emphasized more and more. There's been guidelines for global reporting initiatives, the GRIs, and then, you know, they've got important emphasis on Sustainable Accounting Standards Board, which is SASB, and they call for more robust, timely, and transparent information and better data. So, you know, if better data equals better results, then it behooves people to understand where they're putting their money, how it's being invested, and what kinds of filters are being used to make sure that those companies are behaving properly.
All right, let's unpack some of those filters, Theo, because I see gender lens investing. Can you help me define that, please, before we move forward?
Yeah, gender lens investing really means what you're doing is you're looking for workplace equality, access to capital for women in business, and then products and services that benefit both women and girls. That includes not just proper gender representation on boards, which one of the things I work with is Women's Impact Index, which is, you know, 30% or more women on boards tend to have better returns. But it's also looking for, you know, actual companies that believe in gender diversity and have strong policies and programs and diverse board of directors. It's also really important that they have senior management and work-life balance programs. So it's not just one of the things that we find not just in the Valley, but also with a lot of companies in the legal and financial profession is there's a gap between, I want to call it the older dancing stick, and the millennials, where there's been a lot of women that have stepped out. So the leadership, making sure the companies have in-home policies that are helping women and minorities, and we're not just talking about, you know, race and color here, but religious, ethnic and sexual orientation, that they're supportive and that they're helping find people move to the next step to create this diversity internally.
We are speaking with Theo Schwabacher. She is the co-chair of the San Francisco Women Corporate Directors, and she's also with Morgan Stanley, and she has a new toolkit how to effectively integrate gender diversity into your investment portfolio. Theo, I'm wondering, one of the things you mentioned there was access to capital, and some of the best research I was able to find was 18% of VC money is going to female-founded companies. Can you confirm or deny that number or simply something close to that?
It's very close to that number. They're talking about, you know, as little as 2 years ago, the tech industry had an average of about 7.1% female board directors. And, of course, that sector ranked second worst among all industries, particularly with female board members, according to Gender Map. And when you look at the Harvard study that came out this summer, it specifically came out and said that it didn't matter, male or female, as far as performance, that they were equal when it came to actually getting seed money put into their companies. It was a question of being able to find it and allow it to be credible. I know a lot of the women that have been involved, we work a lot with startups, obviously, and the comparisons that have come out of Stanford are exactly the same. It's just that they're not getting as much access to startup funding.
I see. Okay, so you mentioned the Harvard study, which we will have a link to on facebook.com/techonomicsradio. We're talking gender diversity on boards as well as for investing. That was Theo Tash Schwabacher. She's an institutional consultant at Morgan Stanley. She's also co-chair for Women Corporate Directors of Northern California. That group's purpose is to put more women on public company boards of directors. After this short break, we'll get back under the hood with Morgan Stanley's new gender diversity toolkit and how it will help investors identify forward-thinking companies, as well as we look at a marketing gap when it comes to women / sexism. I am Jason Middleton. Please come on back to Techonomics.